Hey everyone, welcome to Poetry Pod. This is podcast number 27 on After the Titanic, written by Derek Mahon. The first heading on your worksheet is Subject Matter. The second poem by Derek Mahon on your course is After the Titanic. No doubt many of you have heard of the ship Titanic and its tragic maiden voyage across the Atlantic, which ended in disaster in April 1912. This poem focuses on the perspective of one of the passengers on the Titanic on the night of its sinking. The speaker in the poem is Bruce Ismay, who was the managing director of the White Star Line, the company who owned the ship. Interestingly, the poem is called After the Titanic, and it focuses on what happened during but also after the sinking of the great ship. The poem begins with Ismay feeling humbled or humiliated at the inquiry, which was held only days after the tragedy. But Ismay feels he has suffered as much, if not more, than any heroic figure who remained on board and put the lives of women and children first. Ismay now spends his time living in isolation from the public, by the sea, which constantly reminds him of the traumatic events years before. In the poem's final lines, the despairing Ismay pleads with us to take account of his suffering and to include him in our expressions of grief and sadness. We move on then to theme. One key theme in the poem is that of compassion. From Ismay's perspective, we are asked to consider his experience of the disaster and its costly and devastating impact on his life. He argues that his soul sank as far that night as anyone else's, and that he is still sinking, struggling with depression and feelings of guilt decades after the tragedy. The next heading is quote 3. So, in your worksheet, write down three lines or phrases in the poem which you find very graphic or perhaps even upsetting. In this poem, there are numerous vivid descriptions of both the sinking itself, when the enormous ship went thundering down in a pandemonium of prams, pianos, sideboard and winches, to the tortured existence of Ismay, who feels he is also a victim whose heart regularly feels broken and falls into despair. When you choose your three quotations, briefly explain why you selected each one by saying what it shows or why you like it. The fourth heading on your worksheet is imagery. In the poem, Ismay contradicts the narrative that he survived the Titanic sinking. Using a symbol, he claims that he sank as far that night as any hero, meaning, of course, that his privileged life changed forever on that night from the moment he stepped into a lifeboat. Later in the poem, he again uses the symbol of sinking in saying he regularly drowns, meaning he suffers continually, struggling to find any quality of life. Ismay uses the metaphor of ice in line 5, telling us that while he may have taken a place on a lifeboat, he turned to ice with the shocking realization that the unthinkable was happening before his very eyes. The unsinkable Titanic was thundering down to the seabed. At that incredulous moment, he was perhaps aware that any chance of happiness or joy in life had been frozen forever. To reinforce this point, several symbols of life's simple pleasures are included in the poem, as Ismay explains that his life changed forever following the tragedy. The showers of April, the flowers of May, and the late light of June, each of which should be an uplifting time for the soul, now mean nothing to Ismay, whose screaming soul seems forever tethered to the dark waters and the starlight. A simile at the end of the poem graphically describes Ismay's heavy heart that breaks loose and rolls down like a stone, which brilliantly conveys a very physical image of Ismay's spirit sinking. Ismay also uses personification in describing his house as being lonely, which highlights how secluded and isolated his life has become, living away from the public glare. It also suggests that he has few visitors to his home, which may indicate the loss of many of his former friends who had abandoned him after the tragedy. We move on now to language. Derek Mahan works hard in writing this poem to recreate some of the scale and chaos of the sinking of the Titanic. Mahan's descriptive language brilliantly captures the sounds and the sights of a dramatic and a traumatic scene and its impact on Ismay's life for decades after. He uses auditory descriptions throughout the poem. For example, he imagines the chaos of the scene as a pandemonium broke out, with boilers bursting and shredded ragtime. The language here conveys the panic and the scale of the disaster as hundreds of passengers desperately sought out a lifeboat as the huge ship began to disintegrate. Another memorable but haunting description is that of Ismay's tormented soul screaming out into the vast cold skies over the sea. Mahan also uses visual descriptions. For example, think of the picture of the toys and hat boxes being washed ashore, a stark reminder of the women and children, some of whom drowned because Ismay had taken a seat on board a lifeboat. We move on now to form. The poem is a persona poem written in the form of a dramatic monologue. Ismay gives his personal account of the mental torture and anguish he has endured for years after the tragedy. If you look closely at the shape of the poem on the page, you will see that Mahan indents every second line of his personal statement, which cleverly recreates the endless ebb and flow of the sea's tide, which in itself, of course, symbolises the passing of time. Another notable feature in the poem is the poet's use of enjambment. Run-on lines feature throughout the poem. For example, I turned to ice to hear my costly life go thundering down in a pandemonium of prams, pianos, sideboards and winches. The run-on lines here create an impression of movement, of flow. It can also be a little unsettling, since as a reader we may have expected the sense to be tidily packaged into a single line that is end-stopped with a full stop. So in a way the words have been shaken up a bit, tossed around, sentences shredded almost into fragments. Enjambment in this poem also emphasises that Ismay's case is complex, since the reader must read beyond the line break to understand the argument being made by the speaker. For example, the showers of April, flowers of May mean nothing to me, nor the late light of June, when my gardener, and so on. In other words, the argument only makes sense when we read on. Similarly, Ismay is arguing that we must read on or learn more about his suffering before we can judge him. The next heading is sound, and the use of sibilance in the line "I sat shivering on the dark water" effectively evokes a picture of Ismay staring in disbelief as the tragedy unfolded, freezing with the cold but also in shock. The alliteration of a pandemonium of prams, pianos, has a real physical quality to it, and we can almost imagine the enormous forces at work as the ship started to disintegrate. Another example of alliteration is in the phrase "boilers bursting," that broad B sound suggesting the enormous pressure the ship's boilers were under until they finally explode. The brilliant use of assonance can be seen and heard in the phrase "now I hide in a lonely house behind the sea." Note how that timid I sound is almost protected behind the stronger H sound in words such as hide and behind, which gives the impression of Ismay's secluded suffering. You can read more about the poem's sound effects in the Technique Keynotes revision card in your Poetry Speaks textbook. The next heading is tone and mood. Derek Mahan's compassion is quite clear in this poem. He gives the floor to Ismay. We hear Ismay's perspective, and the poet does not interrupt with his own questions, commentary or opinion. Mahan presents a convincing picture of Ismay's suffering, but leaves it up to us, the reader, as to whether we would choose to include him in our lamentations. Ismay's tone is certainly heartfelt, anguished and distraught. At times it feels he is desperate to convince us of his viewpoint, that he has suffered as much, if not more, than any hero. His struggle with depression reminds us how, decades later, he is still grappling with his decision to abandon the Titanic for the security of a lifeboat. In terms of mood, the question then is, do you feel some pity for Ismay? Are his words sincere? And because of his suffering, would you include him in any expressions of grief for the lost souls of the Titanic? Is he remorseful for his actions? The final heading on your worksheet is personal response. What is your own personal response to the poem overall? Were you moved by Ismay's words? Do you think he deserves the years of anguish and emotional pain because of his actions? Or have you been convinced that he is also a victim? Perhaps you agree with the inquiry that he got away or escaped the tragedy. Are there other voices of the tragedy that you would have liked to hear? In your view, does Ismay feel a sense of shame at surviving? Do you think he is continually haunted by the tragedy? In what ways has the tragedy been costly to Ismay? Is he continually drowning? What do you think about his coping mechanisms? Do you think he should be forgiven for his actions, or maybe you think he has no need for forgiveness in the first place? Would you think that Ismay is so tortured in the poem because he struggles with feelings of guilt and shame inside? Or perhaps is it because he feels wrongly accused of being a coward on the night? Perhaps you feel Ismay is asking us to show something which many people think he failed to show on the night of the tragedy, and that is compassion. Think about some of these questions and then briefly write down your own personal response to the poem into your worksheet.